Another Monday, another episode.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Drop that beat, Jay.
I do not have a beat to drop.
All right.
But we are glad you're listening today to Summit Drive Time.
Yeah, I had worked on a good rap for the people, but if you can't drop a beat, then that's fine.
You have a rap stored up?
Things people might not know about me, I always have a rap stored up. You never know when you might need to get in a rap battle with someone.
Give me the beat line that you would like, and I think I can hold my own. Go ahead.
It's like a... Do you know how to beatbox?
No, I have no idea.
You ever heard the Boots and Cats?
No, I have no idea.
So an easy way to learn... This is just free advice for everybody.
Okay, go ahead.
A good way to learn how to beatbox is... Yep. Boots and Cats. So it's
Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and
Cats. Look at you. See, you got it. It all started with a lesson, and then you just went into your own direction.
And then what are the lyrics of the rap that you wanted to do today?
Today is Monday. It's really, really fun. Summit Drive Time. Listen, don't be a bum.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think between now and next Monday, I'll work on the Boots and Cats.
Yeah.
You'll tighten that up a little bit.
I feel like there's more that we could add there.
And we'll maybe wrap for everybody next Monday. We are glad you're listening today. Hope you're having a great start to your week.
Absolutely.
Going down the road today, keeping it at 10 and 2.
Yeah.
Eyes on the road. Texting and driving is what we ask.
It's officially the summer season.
Buckle it up out there. Lots of drivers on the road. Price of gasoline's up. Yeah. You know, they do that every summer. But we hope you're having a great start to your summer. You're right, Brand. It has officially started, and we're happy for all of you. Happy for all you kids that are out of school. True story. Heard from a fifth grader and a first grader this week saying that they are enjoying drive time, Brand.
Really?
Yeah. Speaking of school, speaking of the children of the world, heard from a fifth grader and a first grader saying they're really, really enjoying the drive time.
So people are listening while their kids are in the car.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Grace and Taylor Hunt. Grace and Taylor Hunt. Shout out to them today for listening to Drive Time while they're going down the road.
Uncle Brand says hi.
That's exactly right.
Do you feel like we need to do like a kids section of the pod now, like just in case kids are listening?
I don't. I just think what we're doing here speaks to the masses.
It does.
So this applies what we're talking about, first grade to probably 100 years old.
Yeah, but if you're 101,
we haven't heard from those folks yet. I'd love next week to be able to go, here's the oldest person that's listening to the podcast.
Now, if you think that you're the oldest person, you can email us podcast@summitupstate.org, or if you just have a question for us, we would love to answer those questions. It could be a silly question, it could be a very serious question. podcast@summitupstate.org.
I mean, that email address has only been up for a week or two.
Has
anybody taken advantage of that yet?
Do you want the honest answer?
I do, because there might be, if no one has done it, someone out there could be the first.
No one has done it.
All right, so you could be the first person.
We'll do a giveaway, a special prize.
Oh my goodness.
An autographed napkin.
Yes.
By
Jason
Malone forging Cal Ripken Jr.'s autograph.
I love that.
On a napkin. So if you're the first person to email podcast@summitupstate.org, you will get a Cal Ripken signed napkin.
That was
signed
funny.
By Jason Malone.
I do want to say, for those of you out there in the listening land, when you hear us kind of chuckle and laugh, I want you to know it's genuine. And the reason it's genuine is because we don't really script this.
What?
We pick up a couple of microphones and we start talking.
We know
what the theme of the day is. But outside of that, like, I had no idea you were going to encourage me to forge Cal Ripken's signature on a napkin, and that made me laugh. And you didn't know that I had heard some positive feedback from fifth graders and first graders about how great Drive Time is.
Right before we pressed record, we were having a very serious conversation. I said, hold on, we got to record.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly.
We just went right on into
that's
it.
That's exactly what happened. So we're glad you're listening and you're in today. Thanks for sharing the pod.
Yeah.
Thanks for the promotion out there.
I got a nice review. You know how people can review us on the iTunes?
Yeah.
On the iTunes? This is what someone said.
Go ahead.
I've been a member of Summit for less than a year now, and I've loved every minute of it. This podcast is a perfect example of the creativity and down-to-earthness of the leaders, elders, and pastors.
That's right.
And the body that makes this, and we don't know this, but the best church family is what he says.
Wow.
So that's very kind.
That is kind.
Looking forward to more episodes that will help me in my walk and growth in Christ.
That was a very nice. Take the time to write that.
Yes.
It was very nice of them.
And we're not asking for these reviews just to get a pat on on the back. They actually do help us reach more people, but also it does make us feel a little happy.
Yeah. So thanks for reviewing the pod and sharing the pod. And it is nice
to know that it's actually helping people.
And we've tried on a couple of occasions over the last several weeks to remind you of why we're doing this. This is for the Summit family, but it's also for Summit friends. We've got people that are listening around the globe, and we're thankful for that. But this is an opportunity to encourage the Summit family and friends in the midst of the everydayness of life to invade their consciousness, so to speak, and remind them of what the Lord is up to in the world and redeeming people to himself.
Yes.
And his desire to use us in the places that he has put us. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago here on the pod, Kyle Eastep, one of our teaching pastors and elders, along with myself, spent a good bit of time talking about the mission of Summit Church, which if you've been around Summit, you know the mission, but we're just reminding you of some things that God desires for every man, woman, and child to have the repeated opportunity to see, hear, and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ without them having to come or go anywhere.
That's right.
So we took 22 minutes and we talked about it, just that reminder. And what I wanted to do today, Bran, if we could, is kind of talk about some convictions that we have that rise from Scripture in regards to the nature and the purpose of the church. If God's on a mission of redemption, if he's calling a people to himself, and if the church is his vehicle to accomplish that mission of redemption, I think there's some core convictions for us in leadership as a church. Like, what kind of church are we called to lead? What kind of church are we called to equip? And what kind of church do we want to be in our city and in our nation and in our world?
And I'm excited to talk about that, because a lot of people, if you're around us for any amount of time, you know that we have some values that we like to walk through, and we know that we have some distinctives that we talk about on a regular basis. But these convictions that we're going to talk through over the next couple of weeks are things that you'll hear and that you might not even know that's a core conviction, just in the way that we preach and communicate. So these are intentional things in the way in which we do life and ministry.
Yeah, I mean, one way to talk about it, Bran, would be philosophically, strategically and methodologically, what we do as a church family really hangs off of these theological core convictions. Obviously, we believe our mission statement as a church is biblical and theological, that God's redeeming people, and that's what he's continuing to do around the world, and that the church is a part of that. But then these three core convictions that we have, like everything else, so every church has a philosophy of ministry, every church has strategies that they put into place as a church, every church has methodology that they believe in and that they're wanting to use, and Summit's no different in that regard. We do have those things, but for us, those things hang off of these three biblical core convictions, and so that's a little bit of what we wanted to talk about today, that first conviction, which is this.
Here comes.
Whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he's primarily going to do through all of Christ's people, the church. Now, when I say church there, I'm talking big C, Christ followers around the globe. So let me say it again. Whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he's going to do, desires to do, I could use that word, desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church. And all I mean by that, and it's probably very simplistic and I'm repeating myself, is that if he is going to be calling a people to himself, which he is, that he wants to use all of us. And I would even say, maybe I could say it this way, whatever he's going to do in redeeming people, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church, and not just a few select perceived spiritual superstars.
Right.
And I put that little tagline on there because of the culture that we find ourselves living in here, especially the church in America.
Right. And that really flows out of that mission statement, right? To give every man, woman, and child, and we say this a lot, it takes every man, woman, and child that's been redeemed by Jesus to reach every man, woman, and child.
Yeah, I mean, we say that a good bit, actually. It takes each man, woman, and child to reach every man, woman, and child. And again, we all have a story of grace, of what the Lord is doing in and through our life, and that story of grace intersects with people, and we'll talk about that a little bit later this morning. I think, you know, as I think about that first core conviction, it's really huge because of the culture that we live in. Like, it has ramifications for leadership, right? Mm-hmm. If what he's going to do, he desires to do through all of Christ's people and not a few perceived select spiritual superstars, like, that has huge ramifications for us and how we lead.
So let's talk about, I think there's two types of ramifications. Ramifications for the leadership in the church and how they function, and also for everybody else, all the people that call Summit home, and also all of Christ's people. So let's talk first about how does that core conviction impact church leaders?
Yeah, I think we live in an American church culture where people want to put other people on pedestals. So that's everywhere. That's the celebrity culture we now live in. That's the 24/7 news cycle of just celebrity, right? So all the TV shows and podcast and all the social media stuff that is out there in regards to just celebrating celebrities.
Yeah.
And also the real joy that a lot of people find in seeing celebrities crumble and then just piling on when that happens. And then sometimes the building back up celebrities after they crumble. Like, this is just the world and the culture in which we live. And I think in many ways, because folks aren't intentional, that has definitely crept into the church world, sadly, and that there are a lot of folks who really put pastors on pedestals. Now, some pastors have brought that upon themselves, like they've structured themselves in such a way that they think they deserve to be on the pedestal. That's incredibly heartbreaking for me as I observe that and see that in people, especially around the U.S. And honestly, I've traveled around the globe and I've seen it around the globe as well. And then at the same time, there's a lot of folks who don't want to be on that pedestal, but they still get put on the pedestal. And I think part of the reason they still get put on the pedestal is they don't think very well about how not to be put on the pedestal. Does that make sense? What I mean by that is I don't personally, so the world that Jason Malone runs in, I don't have a lot of pastoral buddies that I believe want it to be all about them. I don't have those conversations with my pastor friends. And at the same time, it's interesting, as I have asked folks through the years, how are you intentionally pushing back to keep it from being about you in a culture that wants to make it about you? Sadly, I don't often hear of guys saying, here's how I'm strategically thinking about keeping myself off of the pedestal,
right,
so to speak. And so whatever he's going to do, he wants to do through all of Christ's people, the church, and not just a few select perceived spiritual superstars. Like, that has ramifications for how we, you know, for how we structure ourselves. When we were first starting Summit, a good friend of mine, mentor, coach, whatever you want to call him, his name's Dwight, and you'll hear me throughout the history of this podcast, I will reference Dwight a good bit because he's been a huge mentor in my life and a great friend. We were just starting. I was 30, 31 years old, and I'll never forget where we were standing when Dwight put his arm around me and he said, Jason, the last thing the church in America needs is another church built on the personality of a guy. He said, make sure as Summit grows that you lead as a team and that you have multiple people with you in leadership. Don't build this on your personality. And I'm incredibly thankful for that advice at 30 or 31. I'm also, like, when I think back on it, not only am I thankful for the advice, I'll tell you what I'm really thankful for, Bran. I am thankful that the Spirit of God was kind enough and gracious enough to allow me to listen to that.
Yeah.
Like, when I look back and I go, man, that was really kind of the Lord. Because I have conversations with pastors oftentimes, and they've just kind of got their mind made up on what they want to do and how they want to do it and so on and so forth. And that's not necessarily always a bad thing if it's biblical convictions that they're building things off of. But I was just, I don't know. I was super thankful that the Lord allowed me to hear that advice and then actually begin to apply it when Summit was beginning, that there really would be a team. Because here's the deal. If you believe the conviction, right, whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church. He wants to use his Christ's people. Like, if you believe that theologically, then that has to have philosophical, strategic, and methodological ramifications. I can't say that I believe that what God wants to do in redeeming people, he wants to do through all of Christ's people, the church, and then make Summit about me. Like, that's it's impossible to do. I mean, I guess you could do it, but it's very inconsistent, and you don't have any integrity if that's how you're going to go about it. And I think that's what's fascinating to me with the culture that I find myself in as a pastor. And I feel like part of maybe my calling in pastoral ministry these days is to talk about these things, this thing specifically, with the Church of America. Again, I don't know many pastors who say, yes, yes, I want it to be all about me. But at the same time, if they say they want to equip the people to do the work of the ministry, if they want to release people, then I want to examine how they've set up the church. And so many have set up the church to be about them, mm-hmm. to be about the Sunday morning environment where they do the thing. And it all falls in on their personality, on their giftedness, on their shoulders. And that's a as a guy who's in the middle of all of this, now I'm not on the outside taking shots. You know, I'm not on the outside, you know, throwing bombs at other people that are doing pastoral ministry. I'm a pastor. I'm in the middle of it with everybody. And so I lovingly want to encourage my pastor buds that are out there, and maybe I don't even know you and you're given a listen to this, like, examine the scope of your ministry and answer the question, is it built on you? And even if you don't want it to be built on you, how are you intentionally keeping it from being
right
built on you? I mean, I think that's a huge thing to process through. It has huge ramifications for leadership. And I know teams talked about a lot right now. I know a lot of guys would say, well, we have a team, and we'll get into one of our core values being interdependent leadership, one of our distinctives being interdependent leadership down the road, and probably bring some other guys around the table. We can all have that conversation together. So I hope I'm not, well, it'll be weeks from now, so we can come back and talk about it again. I just, you know, I talk with a lot of guys who say, well, we team teach, but team teach means, you know, we share the leadership. Well, share the leadership means that, you know, there's another guy who teaches on the Sundays after major holidays and during the summer when the pastor goes on vacation, and the lead pastor, the senior pastor, whatever he calls himself, he wants that guy to be good enough not to chase people off while he's gone, but he wants him to be bad enough that when he steps back in the pulpit, everybody goes, man, we really missed you.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've had that conversation with pastors, you know, the number of pastors who have nodded my head and said, yeah, that's actually how it's structured at our place. That's actually how we do it. Like, that is I think that's a challenging thought for us to think through, not just in the teaching realm, but just in the leading realm in general. What does it look like for us not to build it on one personality or one gift set or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, totally. And that does impact the way in which everybody else in our midst responds. So if you're a leader that maybe desires to not be the guy, but he's wording things in a way that kind of people hear that will influence the people and the people's response to their calling to live intentionally. So talk a little bit about how this conviction does impact everybody. We talk about it, this conviction is basically about the people and their calling and their mission. So talk a little bit about how living this out as a leader influences the people.
Yeah, I think it's empowering. I would hope that it's empowering that the people who are a part of Summit Church, and if you're listening today, driving down the road and you're a part of Summit, like, this is your weekly reminder. If you didn't hear it yesterday when we gathered or whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. like, the gospel goes in you today. And whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he's going to use all of Christ's people, the church. He's going to use you wherever you're going. The job you're going to, the school your kids are a part of, you know, the neighborhood that you do live in, the teams, you know, that your kids play on, the PTA that you may be a part of, the neighborhood board that you may be a part of, like, wherever you are, the gospel is. And so what does it look like, again, for us to lean well into that? We've built a culture, a church culture in America that says, build relationships with some people and then get them to the building on Sunday where the paid professional can talk to them. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the culture we've built. And I lovingly want to push back on that culture because I don't believe that was ever God's design to reach the world. It wasn't get them into a building. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if that was the strategy, it's like history tells us, it's a failed strategy.
Yep.
And that's in the midst of churches growing. That's in the midst of more mega churches, if you want to use that word. We've added more mega churches, statistically, more mega churches have started in the last 12 or 15 years than at any other time in human history. So mega churches, 2,000 or more people. Like, they're just going up all over the place. Yet we continue to see what? Christianity decline all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it's not about just getting big churches, getting big things that people can come into. Again, I'm not casting stones at big. This isn't about size for me, because the fact of the matter is, I want everyone that, listen, I want to say this as clearly as I can. You can be a church of 200 and still have it built on the personality of a guy.
Yep.
Just as well as you can be a church of 10,000 and have it built on the personality of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God's going to do in redeeming people, he desires to do through all of Christ's people, the church, Big C, which is made up of a lot of little C congregations, and those little C congregations are called to intentionally release people into their spheres of influence. So if you're a part of Summit, what I want you to hear me say is, yeah, you can invite your friends to church. I'm all for that. You can invite your neighbors, your coworkers, your classmates to church. As a matter of fact, I would say this. If you're doing life with people who claim to know Jesus, love Jesus, and walk with Jesus, and don't have a church home, invite them here. Please invite them here. Mm-hmm. They need to get plugged into a church. I'm all for that. But if you have a neighbor, coworker, or classmate who doesn't know Jesus, who's asking questions, or you've just been praying for because you're burdened for them, maybe it's a family member, then while I want you to feel the freedom to invite them to a church service, I want you to listen well to the Holy Spirit, because what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you is, you invest in them. You share your story of grace. I am convinced in the culture we live in that your unsaved neighbors and coworkers and classmates would probably, not all of them, but a lot of them, would probably rather sit in your living room, rather sit around your dining room table and hear you in the everydayness of life articulate how Jesus and the gospel is changing you than come listen to me teach a message for 40 minutes.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not against the Sunday morning environment. Obviously, we love it. I believe we put a lot of time and energy into it. We want you to invite people. But we don't want you to invite people to let us handle everything and you feel like I did everything I was supposed to do just because I got them into a building, in a culture historically that has told you just get them into a building. Because here's what happens, Brent. What happens is if that's the mindset and we're brokering everything for people, then we're basically just being everyone's priest and we're not interested in that.
Right. And I think an easy way to talk about it is it possible that God is so brilliant that he's placed you...
Come on, that's right.
...next to the person that you work next to
for
5 days a week for a reason.
Yeah.
And not just to say, hey, let's go one day a week to hear someone talk.
Yeah.
Like it is possible and it is true.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So whatever he's going to do, he wants to do through all of Christ's people, the church, and not just a few select... perceived. I use that word perceived on purpose. Like, there are no spiritual superstars.
That's right.
I think there's a perception in our culture that there are.
Because we talk gooder.
Maybe because you talk gooder, or just because, again, for some guys, they've put themselves on that pedestal. Like, they operate in such a way that you would think, man, that guy's closer to God than I am.
Yeah.
Like, this is the problem, in my opinion, with this whole lead pastor, senior pastor, head pastor language. Like, if you're going to lead with that as how you talk, and then you have this, you know, you communicate in such a way that you went up on the mountain and talked to God and come down and said, this is what God said, then who's going to push back on that when you've promoted yourself in that way?
Yeah.
And I think in a social media culture where it's easy to put things out there and it's easy to build the website and put your name as the domain, and, you know, if I want to lovingly suggest something, if this is a safe place, if you're a pastor and you've got your own fan page on Facebook, like, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem in this culture. Again, I get influence. I get wanting to have a voice for the gospel. But if you spend the bulk of your time promoting you, then I think you have to stop and reevaluate. And if you say biblically and theologically that whatever God wants to do in redeeming people, he wants to use all of Christ's people, yet you spend the bulk of your time and the bulk of your budget focused on you and what you do and promoting, whether it be your brand or promoting your personality or promoting your stuff, I don't know. I think that's something we've got to willingly be able to look at. And if you are someone who is a part of this church family, Summit, or another church family, I just want to encourage you today, in the midst of a celebrity-driven culture where it's easy to look at the pastor and just get them in the room to listen to the pastor, no, the gospel goes in you. You have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. He intercedes on your behalf 24/7. The Spirit of the living God is inside of you and dwells you, is shaping you, is changing you, is sanctifying you. And that message of sanctification through how you live your life is being observed by the people that you do life with. So you, with boldness, can step into that and share with people how Jesus and the gospel changes all of life.
That's right. What's your favorite candy?
Are we out of time already? Because you got to tell people we're out of time just before you switch to that question.
I think they get it by
now. How far have we gone?
We're 24-40.
We went a little over today.
We're a little over.
So some of you are listening to this on your way, like on your way back from wherever you went to, because we went 2 minutes over. My favorite candy? Ooh, man. I'm not a huge candy guy. I got to be honest with you.
You have candy on your desk at all times. Is it just for me?
It is really for you,
Brandon.
Well,
I haven't eaten candy in a month.
Peanut M&Ms. I'm a big fan.
And I don't want to brag about myself. Have I lost 20 pounds in the last month?
By not eating candy out of my office? You've lost 20 pounds of candy weight?
It's not just the
candy. Unbelievable!
It is the candy weight. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all. See ya.